Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Oh, welcome back. Welcome back. Wasn't it not awesome to hear this young man and just, I mean, that was powerful. That was
preach the truth.
I'm flipping his notes over, you know, it's like, hey, my goodness, you know, seeing that. I want to encourage you, if you're a young person or if you're an older person who's been telling young people you need to wait, because I remember one particular, church that was based, their mindset was, you know, we just don't do anything with the kids until they're like 13 years old or something of that nature. I was like, what? I mean, do you know what happens to an intelligent human being by the time they're 13? And so it's exciting to see that. So I want to encourage you, maybe the internship's for you. And you could be 70 and you can be, young.
Seven.
Well, no, you can't be seven in an internship.
Well, you know.
But maybe this young man, could. He's 10. So talk to us, man, about Rags to Riches. I understand the Father Signature event that took place as Jason Upton was here in town.
Yes, we had the opportunity, VFN TV, to cover this event. And wow, what an amazing program. Rags to Riches Ministry put on the Father Signature. Linda Mazur headed this whole thing up with a lot of help. And
it was excellent.
Oh, done with excellence. Done with excellence. I mean, really just beautiful. A lot of work, a lot of volunteers, and it was all about understanding the Father's heart. It was an all-day event. They had several workshops, and Trey Myers was sharing a message about the Father's heart later that evening. But they also had Jason Upton there.
He understands the Father's
heart. He understands.
Oh, my goodness.
Just wonderful songwriter, worshiper, lover of God. But I want you to hear Linda's heart as she shares a little bit about what this event was all about. Watch this.
Linda, we're here at the Father's Signature. Tell us what this event is all about and what we're hoping to accomplish today in this event.
Yes, thank you. This is the Father's Signature, and it's about restoring identity to purpose through the revelation of the Father. And we're so excited because this is an opportunity for the sons of the kingdom to rise up and shine. And we are so excited to see the Father restoring purpose. He's restoring hearts of the children back to the fathers and the hearts of the fathers back to the children. And this is homes, this is churches, this is our community, this is our state, city, nation, the world, and God loves us so much. And so it's about knowing how loved you are by your Father.
Now my understanding is that Jason Upton is here as well. Tell me why it was important for you to have Jason part of this event.
Jason Upton is an amazing worship leader, but he is a worshiper. And there is, for me, it's the heart that he has for the Father, that he worships the Father. And it's so powerful because it's impactful. You feel the presence of the Father. You feel the presence of the Lord. And he has an understanding of orphans and of adoption. And again, his heart is restoring identity, and it's restoring the hearts of the fathers back to the children.
Fantastic.
Yeah, when you're seeing somebody who has that heart, for 10 years, that's exciting, when you see that, for 10 years, we walked out the Malachi mandate.
Yes.
It's been a part of our DNA for quite some time. One is because God is our Father. When you pray, this is how our Lord told us to pray. Our Father who is in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding God as our Father. And I want to encourage you, too, that, if you haven't yet signed up for the Awakening Healing on the Gulf Coast with Art Thomas and myself and the VFN Dream Team, I'm telling you, you want to be a part of that because it's about when you get connected to God as your Father, and Jesus, as your Lord, the more intimate you get, the more of the fullness of healing and power and signs and, all that begins to happen in our life. But if we don't know him as a Father, and the enemy's working hard to destroy the concept of Father.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited about, Jason Upton being in and with them, with the Rags to Riches, putting this on.
Yes.
Like that. It's a powerful thing.
Amazing. Well, we want to share with you a little bit about the interview we had with Jason Upton. But before you do, we understand that you may not know of Jason Upton or his ministry. We want you to watch this video. You'll hear a little bit of him worship and answer some really amazing questions about a little bit about his life.
Upton?
Who is Jason Upton? Watch this.
I don't know how to say what I'm feeling, and I don't have words to write you a song, but I have this hope, and I have this prayer, and I am believing that your words are true, and you never leave us alone. Father of the fatherless, come down and rescue.
Good to have you here again.
Being with you.
This song is my favorite off of the album that it's on, but it really has special meaning to you. Tell us about that.
Well, I was adopted in 1974, in March of 1974, and given a home. Yeah. And just recently, as I was writing this song, actually, I was in the process of meeting my biological family.
Wow.
Found out that my biological mother lives in Minneapolis. Had given me up for adoption, prayed over me, prayed that I'd be a worshiper, wrote a little letter and a little note. Of course, back then it was closed adoptions.
Yes.
Out of Minneapolis. And as I was actually writing this song, I was introduced to them and my biological father, and found out that my biological mother was listening to worship in a prayer room at Redeeming Love Church of My Worship for years. Didn't even know
it was
me.
Didn't know you were her son.
And
wow.
And that process of adoption, you know, even the process of meeting my biological family, really made me value, you know, what my parents gave me, mm-hmm. and wrapping their arms around me, and my dad playing ball with me and catch with me and spending time with me and bringing me to church. And yeah. it was almost like as we met, all of her dreams for my life, all the things she prayed for me when she put me up for adoption, everything she prayed for me happened
God
with the parents that God gave me.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
Wow. I know that you had an encounter with God that has taken you from just singing in churches to really having a passion to reach people with the knowledge that they can can know Jesus, walk with them, live yeah. with them? How did that happen?
Well, you know, my wife and I, Rachel, she actually didn't grow up in the church so much and had an experience with God later on in life. And then when we met, she was a three-day eventer and horse rider and such. And when we met, she didn't have any understanding of church ways of doing things. And so she actually just encouraged me. We'd be at the house worshiping, I'd be singing songs, and she got me a piano one year in like 1995 and to play in a worship room. And I just started singing songs mm-hmm. in the worship room. She said, for some reason, the stuff that comes out of you when you're just singing your heart and being real is so powerful. Why don't you just sing that?
Instead of performing.
And I thought, well, I grew up in the church. You gotta, you know, it's like you learn to perform sometimes
yes,
in church.
Yes.
For the glory of God, you think, you know.
Sometimes but people even expect that.
Expect it. Mm-hmm. But Rachel really taught me about just being myself. And so I just started singing my heart and so that's what I keep doing.
You know, I think it's one of the things about your music that's so precious is it leads us into a place of non-performance with God, but just letting us receive His love and understanding what it means for Him to be our Father. And yeah. I think maybe even your own circumstances in life, God has used to put that into your music so yeah. that the rest of us
people
can
ask me all the time, they say, why do you talk so much about the Father? Father, adoption, the spirit of adoption, because the revelation of the spirit of adoption is that when Paul used that term, what he meant was that that was a legally binding contract, mm-hmm. that he used it specifically to show that there to be a blood child, you could be disowned and disinherited, but to be adopted meant yeah. that you could never be disowned and you could never be disinherited.
It's forever.
And so, yeah. So
that's the good
that
news.
Enters
that's
our
so
work.
Exciting, you know, wow. to hear that. And when we get back from this break, you're gonna we're gonna have our interview with Jason Upton. Kind of wanted to get you a little foundation of who he is, but he is a man like we all should be, a man and a woman after God's heart, spirit of adoption. Mm-hmm. That everything comes with that. And when you know who you are and whose that's you right. are, think about it. That's a powerful thing. This interview now with Rags yes. to Riches. At Rags to Riches.
Rags to Riches Ministries, yes. Father's Signature Event. Mm-hmm. We had the opportunity to get an interview with Jason Upton and just sit back and talk. Mm-hmm. And we really enjoyed our time together. We could have even went longer, but out of courtesy for Jason, he was so friendly right. and so willing to share so yeah. much. We said, all right, Jason, that's enough. That's enough. Now, I want you to watch and be blessed.
Hey, Jason, we're excited to have you here in Pensacola once again. I know you've been here before. Talk to us about the Father's Signature and why this is important. You get invitations to go many places. Why was it important for you to come to this event here today?
Well, in particular, when anybody asks me to come and share a particular on the heart of the Father, understanding, you know, that Jesus comes to show us what God looks like.
Yeah.
And so it's whenever I get an opportunity to share on that, it's an easy...
That's an easy thing?
Yeah. Yeah, it's easy to know, oh, this is a place I belong, you know?
I'm glad to have you. I wanted to ask you to share a little bit about the Father's heart and some of the things that the Lord has shown you. I know in your music, a lot of times you're expressive of the Father's heart and how we're to relate to Him. Talk to us just a little bit about that and why that's important.
Yeah, well, I mean, Jesus shows us the Father's heart, and so the life that Jesus lives, He doesn't just live, in particular, like, just starting with Jesus shows us how to be human, and to be fully human is to be connected with earth and connected with the Father's heart at the same time. The desires of the Father, the longings of the Father, to have both of those going on at the same time is what it means to be fully human. It isn't fully human just to be connected to this world,
yeah,
and it isn't fully human to just be connected to the spiritual realm. It's fully human to know the Father and to know that He knows our name, and to be connected that way, and then to be connected with humanity. Yeah. Jesus shows us how to do that. So that's first, is that this relationship that Jesus has with His Father is a relationship He longs for all of humanity to have with the Father.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I love how the Lord uses you in the gifting of worship and music. I feel like many times through your songs and the different times I've seen you lead worship, that it's almost an invitation for us to join you in that worship to the Father.
Yeah.
Talk to us, how important is it as a worship leader? Tell you, many, there's many worship leaders, and I believe there's a powerful move of God on the horizon, and we're going to need many of them. Mm-hmm. But what's the heart of the worship leader as opposed to performance? And can you speak to that a little bit?
I mean, entertainment is to detain people from entry. So what I'm always doing is trying to invite people. And you're not inviting people to do more. You're inviting people to put themselves in a place of receiving, you know, what the Father's giving in the moment. And so that's the whole point of everything I do with worship, is inviting people into the presence, the real presence of God. Not just His presence, like His presence, but His, how present He is to us in our in every moment of our lives.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what happens a lot of times when we call things revival or moves or these things that happen, is when both are present at the same time. Hmm. When you have God present and we're present and we're interacting with one another, this is a powerful, you know,
dynamic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Talk to us about, you know, we have access and there's churches and connections and that watch our program. What type of wisdom would you share with future worship leaders that wanting to begin to move in worship? And I know there's many things that you can say, but what do you think is like fundamental? If you could say one thing to an up and coming person that feels like, you know, God's called me to worship, what's your heart of wisdom for them?
If I had one thing to say, I would say that expression puts a cap on worship. So when we make worship just the expression, well, you're capping it. And every once in a while, somebody will come through and break through that rooftop we've put on it, right?
Yeah.
But when we make the activity of worship, like really, Jesus didn't say much about singing to Him, but He said a lot about following Him. So when we make the activity of following Jesus, if that's the goal of worship, well, that's going to transform worship, and it's those fingers go forever. So you can't, you know, when you put a cap on expression, when you make it about expression, you know, you put a cap on it.
Yeah.
There's an end to it. When you make activity the focus of worship, there's no end to the expression. It just keeps going and going.
That's beautiful.
But if I had one thing to say to worship leaders, it would be, don't make the expression the end goal, because the expressions are going to change. They change every 10 years. And what happens is you end up telling people something that's not true, and that's that this expression is worship.
Wow, that's wild.
That is never worship. This is worship. Sometimes the expression leads to activity. But Jesus said a lot about following Him. He didn't say a lot about singing to Him. So forms and ways in which we sing to God are not nearly as important to God as the activity. And when the activity of worship is happening, the expression is endless. We can recite poems, we can recite scripture, there's so many ways that we can worship God when the activity is present among
our
people.
That's beautiful. I know that you're a songwriter, and I know that you seek the Lord. Talk to us about that process. How does the Lord give you worship songs? Where does that come from?
Yeah, I mean, I do a lot of study. I spend a lot of time with, you know, reading writers and reading the scriptures and a lot of practicing of what I read, not only theology, history, things like that, but poets, and then off, you know, also obviously the words of Jesus and trying to practice that. So, you know, when I write music, it often comes out of just a life lived trying to follow Jesus, and I write poems out of that, and then it ends up being music. in hearing the voice of God, it generally starts with, you know, the idea of let there be light is, I often will get an unction or a sense of something before I have language for it. Mm. Does that make sense? Yeah. So a lot of what I write on is Jesus. See, people say Jesus speaks to you. Yeah, he speaks to me, but he very rarely uses words.
Mm. Yeah.
In fact, I don't ever know if he ever has used words, but he's still speaking. Some say, does he speak in English? No, he never speaks in English. What happens is he begins to speak at 5:30 in the morning or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and it may take me 6 hours or 10 days or 30 days or 40 days to put words to everything that he's saying.
Yeah.
C.S. Lewis said it in the Voyage of the Downtrodden. He says, and Aslan said, but I'm not sure he spoke. Mm. Same kind of concept. And so what happens is, let there be light is, let there be illumination and let there be understanding of everything that God is doing and everything that God is saying.
Wow, that's good.
So often the way he speaks to me isn't, hey, Jason, this is what I want you to do. It's more, I have a sense and I know in my spirit what's being said, even in the instant moment that he's speaking to me, but I don't have language for it. I haven't figured out it. And so writing poetry is the way in which I sort of put language to what it is that I'm hearing.
Wow, that's beautiful. What's one thing, I probably many that the Lord is sharing with you now, but what do you think, what is God saying for this hour to you, for the church, and maybe even for the world? What's on the Father's heart?
Jesus. I sense that, I've always sensed this, but I feel like, Jesus is on the Father's heart. You know, when Jesus was on the, Mount of Transfiguration with the disciples, for instance, I mean, I don't necessarily know that there's anyone that's more famous than Jesus is. But Jesus, when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration with the disciples, when God spoke to those disciples, he didn't say, this is my beloved son, go make him famous. He said, this is my beloved son, listen to him. And I feel like on the Father's heart right now for the church is, will you trust the way of Jesus? Is the way of Jesus the way that leads to real life, or have we taken on the Peter's way, or Judas' way, or Herod's way? Or there's the way of Jesus, and then there's many other ways, and that's the next season of time. I think is a time where the church gets to either decide we're going to choose to follow the Jesus way, or we're going to follow another way that may work. In the temporary, very well, but I think in the end, we're gonna finally come to terms with his way is the way that leads to life and peace and resurrection, joy, and the fulfillment of making all things new, and his kingdom come.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
So, any current projects that you're working on?
I'm working on a couple projects. I'm working on A Table Full of Strangers, which is songs in following Jesus. So I have volume one coming out next month. So I'm really excited about
that.
And
where can we get that at?
Probably through the website, on iTunes, various places.
And the website is?
JasonUpton.com.
Okay, great. Yeah. And we can follow you on Facebook.
Absolutely.
And Facebook, social media.
Twitter, all this, Instagram, Twitter, everything. Yeah.
When you think about, Jason's heart, we've always been connected to, yes. We're connected to the Father,
yeah,
obviously.
There you go.
I remember Pat and I were in Washington, probably Maryland, and this particular man that we were with, I was awake and Pat was sleeping, I think.
Oh.
And this guy was
looking, he sleeping good?
He was looking at us. No, he was smacking. He was eating pizza. And this guy was looking at Pat and myself, and he was whispering. But this passionate word he was saying was, it's the Father's heart.
Mm.
And over again, he said, it's the Father's heart. And we're like, why are you whispering? Because he was held captive there. And so it is totally 100% about God as your father. And Jesus is the first son of many sons. God wanted family, so he sowed a son and gave his son for us. And so it's, you know, all of creation, John, all of creation, everything that you see, the stars, the earth, the water, the sea, animals and everything, it eagerly anticipates us getting this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It says it eagerly anticipates that the son, the revealing of the sons of God. And of course, everything the adversary does is try to prevent that, including expression, as Jason put it.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, expression, you know, if you try to keep it, it caps, you know, worship.
Right. This is not about a style or a song, but it's about living a life of worship. And oftentimes we sing these songs that are so, you know, real and transparent and so personal to the Lord.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's easier to sing a life of worship than to sing a song of worship rather than to live a life of worship. And God is interested in us living a life of worship.
I love his purity and his honesty, because the truth is the word of God never says, sing a song to me. It's living a life of worship. But how many people just made it about
a song?
I think George Barna wrote in his book about statistical reality of the church that almost like 82% of the church feels like worship is about them. I mean, that's why the entertainment kind of concept, and you got to really fight that, you know, in leadership, not feeding to that, because just because somebody applauds doesn't mean Stairway to Heaven was actually a stairway to heaven, you know. I mean, music, you know. Anyway, so he also said, I like what he said in the interview, was that entertainment, it detains people from entering in to the presence of God.
Yeah.
And think about how much, like, through people's mobile devices, their computers, their television, their theater, media. And then you're thinking, like, the whole church seems detained right now from entering into the presence of God. They're going like, oh, no, I'm going to watch TV or something.
Yeah.
You know, and
I don't have time to pray.
It is just wild.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. We'll be right back.